Blog Talk Radio.
Hoping to get you back up and fully awake. When your life is at stake, I'm just doing what it takes. Do you have the heart to be an EMT? Do you have the bravery to be a firefighter? When things get hectic, when they get tragic, do you have the courage to be a paramedic? Made of the few, only rare select. Stand up, show yourself, command respect. Show them what you got. Show them who you are with the patch on your shoulder, saving lives. Blue Star.
With 170 days, 9 hours, 29 minutes, 18 seconds till the big dance in Vegas. And, man, this place is a little dusty. This is One Union 801, the webcast. I am John Broyles, SSGJ Broyles on Twitter, John.Broyles1 on Facebook. Open grab bag with just a slight, small list of things to go over tonight. I need help. Y'all help me out. 347-826-7894 is the number to call in and talk, vent, bitch, moan, groan, whatever you happen to do or have to do so we can get this thing rolling again. I have been gone for about, I just about forgot. As usual, my normally silent co-host and call screener, 8 feet to my left, your right, 8 feet to my right, your left, as you're watching along at home. Yeah, I'm a little out of practice. Okay, I'm a lot out of practice. Bus driver D. Elmore, sitting right there, just shaking her head, pointing and laughing, getting a good kick out of watching me fall on my face, as usual. I will say it has been a year. It has been a year. Let's see here. It started off when I kind of took some time off to become the health officer at Ingersoll Scout Reservation at summer camp last year, and we never really picked things back up. Over the fall, we started, went through, a semester and two-thirds of school. We got EMT 210, which is the advanced EMT class, knocked out once again. And I'm currently in the middle of the hospital clinicals for that one. I start the field clinicals this summer. So hopefully by the time we're doing this in the fall again, I will have my advanced EMT, or as it's still called in Illinois, EMT intermediate. And along with that, we still got a bunch of stuff that I've been taking, you know, the usual, the English, the speech, they're making me take a management course for some reason. I don't know. And they're making me take psychology 110, which, I call it that. I get in trouble no matter how many times because 8 feet to my right is a four-year psych degree holder, whereas I'm just having a one semester online where I am writing more than I did in my English class. We got a nice little laundry list of stuff to go over tonight. Starting off with, let's see here, since I have it written right here in front of me. I actually have something written down. Be afraid. Be very afraid. So here we go. Everybody has hopefully seen, as soon as I call this one up here, there it is, the little ad campaign in British Columbia, Canada. The ambulance drivers, the paramedic union. That's what it actually is. They did a multimedia focus on their critical services, and a lot of them been shown throughout social media as half of a billboard-shaped picture. Half of it is medics actually working someone on a scene. The other half is that person in a coffin saying, imagine a world without paramedics. The campaign was, and still is, on TV, print, radio, billboard, and on the web. And it will run for another month or so across in communities across British Columbia. You can see that at worldwithoutparamedics.ca, which is Canada. So once again, it's worldwithoutparamedics.ca. We'll put a link to that on the Facebook page and on the show's site at oneunion801thewebcast.com. The president of the local 873 of the Ambulance Paramedics of BC Union. It's Bronwyn, I'm going to guess, at Barter, said that it's vital the public know who we are and what we do, that we make a difference. We are often a critical factor in the difference between life, death, patient outcomes, and the overall time a patient utilizes the health care system. Their job is to ensure every British Columbian has the best possible access to paramedicine. Stephen DeGuise, where are you? Quebec EMT or Quebec Medic, where are you when we need you? They also realize that the campaign may provoke some strong emotions in the viewers. Let's see here. And on the gems.com article that I pulled up tonight to go over this one, it shows 1, 2, 3, 4 of the commercials that they actually have on YouTube for the major public awareness campaign. And thanks to everybody who's popping into the chat room, good evening to y'all, and those that have decided to leave also. Oh, well. So that covers that one, the BC paramedic ads. Boom, that one's done. Now, let's go over, I'm hunting it down, there we go. Another little GEMS article that I skimmed over and found out. 1EMS system is watching over post-discharge patients so they could avoid the costly readmissions. And this is out of, another one out of GEMS. Starts off with a young lady told her husband she wasn't feeling well on a night January last year, had a distended belly, and was feeling nauseated, mostly. She just knew something was wrong. Hubby calls 911. The medics get there. Last thing she remembers is one of them asking her if her abdomen was usually so swollen. Arrived at the ED just after midnight. She went into cardiac arrest. The hospital staff was a little less than optimistic after resuscitating her, told her husband that she probably would not survive the night. They suggested he might want to call a priest. She was unconscious for several days on a vent. 2 weeks later, going home. Boom. They said, okay, you're ready to go home. And the gal, her name was Donna Meek, she was nervous. This 64-year-old lady from Sparks, Nevada, will not be alone. Her husband and a good friend helped take care of her with the community health paramedics from Reno's Regional EMS Authority. Community paramedicine at its finest right there. Evidently, 2 years ago, REMSA, which is Reno EMS Authority, launched a community health program funded by Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Healthcare Innovation Award. It was a almost $10 million grant to fund three programs, one of them being a 24-hour nurse health line, ambulance transport alternatives, and their community paramedicine program. Community health paramedics aim to reduce frequent 911 calls and post-discharge readmissions by receiving additional training on several topics to include chronic diseases. Reducing return visits to a hospital seems like an obvious goal for any healthcare system, but it was not a priority of many until 2012. This is starting to sound familiar. I think we're actually stepping into Chris Montero's cat neighborhood here with community paramedicine. Hi, Epi! And it's good to see you in the chat room again. And of course, D is asking the mighty question, who's planning on going to Vegas? I don't know, a certain podcast I know of with a logo that happens to have a coffee cup might make an appearance, quite possibly, hopefully, maybe. We're trying, and I'm I'm glad to be back, Epi. I'm glad to be back. Getting back to our little story here from gems.com, CHF was one of the first conditions targeted by this study, or by Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, because of its high prevalence among Medicare patients and high readmission rates. Makes sense. Cost of heart failure in the U.S. is estimated to be more than $30 billion, that's with a B, and projected to more than double that amount by 2030. Wow. Alrighty. REMS is working with the discharge planners, and they receive referrals for hospitalized CHF patients who are set to go home, but whose cardiologists are afraid that they're going to become ill again. And the program also takes referrals for patients with COPD and MIs for the frequent 911 callers. So train community paramedics and meet with patients in the hospital, explain what's going on, visit them at home. Hey, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Community paramedics return several times over the next month, checking on them a few times a week. And they do an ECG, check vitals, like I would if I happen to roll out on a call, me and my two preceptors. Paramedics will also draw blood and measure point-of-care lab values. They'll also check weight and see, because the slightest increase can often be an early sign that a patient is retaining fluid. The diver medic is in the house. How you doing this evening, Kevin? Back to the story. Go scroll down a little bit more here. In the first year of this program, REMS's community paramedics enrolled 444 patients and made more than 2,000 home visits. And REMSA estimates that during that time, 28 admissions and 97 ER visits were avoided. That is a total savings of more than $500,000 in payments and $1.6 million in total charges. It's all good. I like that. And let's see, skim through this some more. One of the eight community paramedics that are trained to make house calls. Also, they also appreciate the chance to practice in a different type of environment and make a long-term impact on a patient's life. One paramedic named Jake Beck, he's quoted as saying, "When you first see a patient post-discharge, they're often sick, confused, and really struggle to understand what's going on with them. Once through the program, they tend to have a real ability to manage their disease and understand what steps are needed to be successful." And the young lady mentioned in the article here, Donna, is doing just that. She keeps herself on a tight diet, takes her meds, makes it to every appointment, and her quality of life has improved. According to the story here, just 11 months after they thought they'd never see her, she'd never wake up again. That right there, that's just boom. And if you want more information on this article here, written by Michael Gerber, MPH, EMTP, out of D.C., it will also be up on the website here as soon as I'm done with the show. Wow, I'm just rattling right through here. And I bounce back here into the studio. Somebody tie Epi down, please, because she's bouncing in and out and in and out. Dee just put this in the chat room, so I'm still shaking about. What did Epi ask? I won't then. Epi asked how she was, and she's really tired and doing better. That's the best way to say it. Really tired and doing better. And, okay, we went over that one. Decisions. And if anybody has anything they'd like to chime in, 347-826-7894. I did leave a note on my EMT 215, 210, 220 classes Facebook chat that we have going on, that if they want to call in and listen or point and laugh, they're more than welcome to. Yeah, I know you guys point and laugh at me all the time anyway, and I get a lot of pointing and laughing from 8 feet to my right, but all righty. Just moving on, we got one here from EMS1 out of Idaho. New e-cig, I'm working on it too. Out of Idaho, this is going to be a good one. A new law that will allow EMS providers to bill for non-ER transport. Basically, treat on site, still get reimbursed, still get paid. It's making its way through the Idaho legislature right now. Excuse me. A little dry mouth there. And it will allow EMS responders to treat a patient on site and still be reimbursed for their services, even though there's no transport. Under current laws, at least in Idaho, patients can only be billed if they are transported to a medical facility. The expansions of this treatment options under this bill that has passed their Senate, communities would be permitted to set up community health EMS systems that allow for responding agencies to be reimbursed regardless. So basically, they go home, they find out, you know, they go to a home, routine diabetic call, amp a D50, feed them breakfast, and around here, they're done. You know, not being billed, or at least there they're not being billed. Under this new law that's being proposed, they can bill for that. Under their current model, they can't get reimbursed unless they transport that person to a hospital. This particular volunteer fire department's ambulance company is already providing some of these services that fall under the scope of community health EMS. And for roughly the past year, the department has had a fall assessment program at an assisted living facility. When a call comes in for a ground level fall at the facility, medical respond without an ambulance or a fire truck to do the initial assessment. At that point, the medic will determine if the patient needs to be transported or if they can be treated on site. The role of pre-hospital care providers is not clearly defined in their existing law. Under this one that's proposed, services can range from giving vaccinations to providing staffing at clinics and disaster response shelters. Probably one of the best things about it is they could shape it to what their communities need. That's why it's such a popular program, and that is according to the Moscow Pullman Daily News, with a link, of course, that'll be posted up on the show site. I'm just rattling right through them here. I may actually have to go to the couple that I have, the one that I have put in escrow. As you guys know, I do have one that is on backup. And it looks like I may end up having to hunt down another one because I'm just rifling through them. And then, what we got going on here. And I'm still wondering who all is going to the big dance in Vegas, because I have this sinking feeling that a certain Illinois-based podcast will be there. Although the host of it will be playing hell from his paramedic instructor, but he'll understand, even though I can only miss 4 classes the entire semester. He'll understand why I'm there. You're not going to Vegas. Probably not going to Vegas, Kevin. Come on, man. Call in and give John some advice first. Yes, advice for training, especially because I'm getting ready to start that field clinical. Getting ready to do the ride time again. So that kind of stinks there that the diver medic's not going to make it. So will that mean Rick won't be there as well? Too many trips planned for the... Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense then. You know, if you got too much stuff planned, in that case, we're just hoping to... we'll miss you over there, but you know we're going to have fun. And speak... It's all good. They're all for training. Hey, yes. Yes, it all is all good. Which one is this? Oh. Okay. I can pull this one out and be ready to do this one. And I pull out of my back pocket an Illinois story from Jim's, which I really haven't looked at, so we can... And I'm just scrambling through this real quick, because this is history here, that, because it's talking about Governor Oglebe, and that was back in the 60s, back before I was even, before I was even thought of. So we will hold off on this one. We will bring that up later in the show. That's going to be a good one. See. So we go over here to Ohio. Yep, and that happens to be the next one on the list. I got to find it again. In Ohio... Ohio dispatcher is telling a 911 caller that there were no ambulances available while his wife was having a heart attack. And here we go. This is from Epi's neighborhood over in Cleveland. That wouldn't be Epi's neighborhood. That'd be Dr. Mike's area. Man called 911 when his wife thought she was having a heart attack, and he was told by a 911 dispatcher, that no ambulances were available. Says here this lady named Sandy, who is 68, says she felt clammy, nauseous, dizzy, and passed out. Her husband immediately dialed 911. He said they needed an ambulance. Dispatch said, "We have none." He was told it could take 20 minutes or more until one was available, so he drove his wife to the ER himself, and he was ticked. I can understand that. I can understand that one. The guy received a call from from EMS Commissioner Nicole Carlton, who apologized and said there had been a mistake. Dispatcher coded the call wrong, and an ambulance was available. This guy is now saying he's afraid to call EMS. If he was to have a heart attack, or if his wife was to have another attack, get in the truck, we're going to the hospital, because I don't know if EMS is going to show up or not. This incident is under investigation. I'm at a loss. I am at a loss about this one. This is just in the utterance of not cool. I'll have a link to this, as usual, on the site here after the show. But, yeah, this just ain't, nah. And it's, oof. Not good. Not good at all. There we go. There's one. So I got to remember that Ohio one, and then we go on. All right.
I had to write down a couple notes myself also. So, here we go. Got another one coming up, another little short article here out of EMS1. You know, I'm just finding all kinds of good stuff tonight for some oddball reason. I don't know. So, oh boy. Don't mind me, I'm just All right, for some reason my chat window is a lot smaller than it should be. I'm going to go ahead and type in a reply real quick, so you are going to hear some angry typing. Alrighty. This new way that Blog Talk has things set up, I've got a little bitty slither of a chat room on one side. On the far other side, I have my normal size list of everybody who's in the chat room, and I have a huge blank in the middle, and I cannot change it. I can't stretch it out or anything. And it's just on mine. It's not affecting anybody else's. It's just the host panel, just my panel. I'm about ready to, I'm going to try something different here. I'm going to pop it into a full screen and see what that does. And it's going to give me a little headache here. So please bear with me. Okay. Wow. Hey. Now I have a full screen again. Oh, boy. That's the downside about taking a little bit of time off. Blog Talk Radio decided to change a few things, and that's also why you see two of me in the chat room right now. Excuse me. So that's why there's two of me sitting there. So, you know, I could actually talk to myself. And more angry typing. Okay. Yeah, see. There, so yeah, you can see I can actually talk to myself in the chat room saying, don't answer myself, folks will think I'm crazy. But then again, y'all already know that, so we're all good. Here we go. More EMS agencies are administering TXA. I'm going to butcher this word up again, so I'm just break it down into little bitty bite-sized chunks for myself. Tranexamic acid, or TXA, is known for its use to treat wounded soldiers with severe bleeding. Prevents the breakdown of clots, helps slow bleeding, often improving a patient's outcome of survival after a traumatic injury. It's been given inside trauma centers for years, and research conducted on pre-hospital use shows it's highly effective in stabilizing patients before they arrive at the ER. So it's slowly making its way into EMS. And like I say, this is from EMS1. So, and they start going over a little list of folks who are actually starting to use it now within the last couple years. A couple places in behind the Cheddar Curtain up in Wisconsin, two EMS services in Wisconsin are now authorized to administer TXA. One of them is Tri-State Ambulance, and the other one is Milwaukee County EMS. December 2013 and September 2014, respectively. Critical care transport program in North Carolina, AirLink, VitaLink, is authorized to administer TXA to patients with severe bleeding while en route to the New Hanover Medical Center. And that was starting in December of 2014. Spokesperson for the agency there said being able to take this drug and TXA to the bedside and administer it there on scene to get the trauma center and ICU level care started earlier, patient has a better outcome. So there, the New Hanover Regional Medical Center is working on it to stock county EMS ambulances with TXA. See, Minnesota Air Ambulance, Mayo 1 medical helicopter since 2012, that's standard protocol. And it's also been adopted by the Mayo Clinic Hospital, St. Mary's Campus Emergency Department. And then Ohio. It was used at a crash scene for the first time in 2013, based on studies that have shown low risk and strong benefits. Newark Fire Department and Ohio anticipate other agencies, especially those in rural communities without a hospital nearby, would create protocols to use TXA at trauma scenes. So, there we go. There's another good one. And let's go ahead and get this one ready to go. So there is another good one right there with TXA. It's slowly but surely being brought up and taught and being accepted, which is a good thing. Which is a good thing. All righty. Wow, I'm not doing too bad. Only a half hour. Normally at this time I would have been getting ready to do a commercial, but since I don't have any commercials that are ready to go. And here we go. And yes, tonight I am going through a lot of EMS 1 articles and GEMS articles, because, you know, I didn't have any guests lined up, and we're slowly getting back into the swing of things. So we go over yet another EMS 1 article. I think Greg Freeze ought to hire me or something, the way I'm hitting EMS. I'm just beating them to death tonight. What it was, they asked readers for some advice on learning and studying pharmacology, and their top 10, basically. Their top 10 is a decent one, actually. So, we'll start it off real quick. And, there's a couple other, there's one other little ones there that I'll toss in here. Number 10 on EMS1's top 10 list of learning pharmacology is the drug guidebooks and apps. Buy it. One medic said, buy and read your latest edition Pharmacopoeia. Keep it up to date. Know it front to back, back to front. Keep it on you and read it during your downtime. Learn a page or two in depth and don't just regurgitate the information. Another medic was saying, keep a copy of the drug reference book in a cubbyhole at the head of the patient care area. Another one was saying, trust the informed guides, the pocket reference guides. And now they got, this one happens to have the app for the iPhone. What's the pocket guide? Oh, InformEd. Hey. Well, what do you know? And it actually does show some of the, I'm thumbing through the BLS version, right? Oh, basic and intermediate. Sweet. I have to remember that. Okay, number 9. Use word association. Get creative with your drugs and how you remember them. Diphenhydramine, adult dose. Ben is a construction worker. Ben drills 25 to 50 milligrams in 4 to 6 hours. Benadryl. That's a good one. I may end up passing that one on to my instructor. And, oh, man, that does suck. Looks like everybody else is gone. Except, hey, good morning, K-Led. So, here we go. Let me find that. Ouch. Find my page again. There it is. Ah, it's Medic Trauma Shear. Okay. Now I recognize the name. Good seeing you in the chat room there, kiddo. We'll move up to number 8, Constant Quizzing. Everybody loves that one. They learn differently. Ask any medic that you ride with to constantly quiz you and actually look at the medications. Okay. Go through the med box. Actually touch them. Pick them up. Number 7, pick up each individual drug. Look at it, review its indications, contraindications, how to administer it, the side effects. Kind of a hands-on, because just reading and memorizing doesn't work. Okay, yeah, that may, okay, I'll buy that one for a nickel. Number 6, the 30-second drug guide lookup. You take 30 seconds, look it up. After some time, you won't need the protocol book as much. And if you still don't know, call someone who can help. I'm sorry, but my instructor would get a little pissed if I called him up at 11 o'clock at night saying, hey, we need to stop this macho know-all, be-all medic attitude and teach students that it is okay to get a second opinion or quickly find the answer to something if you're not sure. If you don't maximize the resources that are made available to you and you fail just because you're too scared to ask for help, then you let yourself and your patient down. Study, memorize, make reference, but if you're not sure, ask. Okay. Number 5 is create study aids. This one medic made a drug chart in alphabetical order, and during ride time, she would read over it and read over it and read over it. The chart had the drug name, the generic name, dosage, indication, contraindication, mechanism of action, drug type, and what it's given for. Okay. Number 4, understand the big picture. Learn physiology inside and out first. Then learn the drug classes and their effects. Then memorize the individual drugs used in your local protocols. Okay. That works. And then another medic suggested learn drug actions as you're learning the anatomically corresponding system. So it would be like albuterol for respiratory, the bag of cardiac meds for cardiovascular. Stressing the purpose of use links it all together. Heart problems, what fixes it? Boom, 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 boom. Okay, that'll make sense. That'll work. Number 3 on the top 10 tips for learning pharmacology off EMS1, flashcards, note cards, dry erase boards. That is what my instructor had me do. In fact, I have my drug cards in my book. I happen to have... He only gave us back a few of them. He didn't give back all of them that we did. And as I pull them out, and my patient cards from last weekend in the ER, set them off to the side. First one I happened to pull up was acetylsalicylic acid with a pregnancy safety category of November, N. Acetylsalicylic acid, its trade name is Bayer or St. John's. It is a... And I'm not even looking at it. In fact, I'll even hold it up so my co-host, Call Screener, can see that all I can see is the name. All I can see is what's written on the back of the card. In this case, it says aspirin. let's see. It is a anticoagulant platelet inhibitor. It's given for chest pain, 4 81-milligram tablets, chewable. Have them swish it up and swallow it. Indications, chest pain, contraindications. I'm just going to go ahead and pull it off. And boom, antiplatelet, oh, I forgot about. Oh, man. guys, don't tell my instructor. I got to restudy that one. Oh. Let's see here. Okay, let me... Ah. Okay. Now that I see it on the big screen there. Ah, where was I? Oh, yes, the top 10 for... Ah. Okay. Oh, we don't have a new one yet. We just have the ones that we've had at oneunion801thewebcast.com. So here we go. Let's go back to... Oh, and then the next one I pull up is Valium. I don't have a favorite medication one yet there, Tramashir. Zofran. Z is saying Zofran. Oh, why are you... you guys are distracting me. I'm not complaining, though. Now, if you can ask... Yeah, caffeine. Divermedic Kevin said caffeine is his personal favorite medication. I don't know. Let me pull up my... book here. Let's see here. I could tell you out of the heck, they were all done at one hospital too. So out of the emergency room of Methodist Medical Center, the most popular med given in the ER was Zofran, by me anyway, followed by fentanyl. Yeah, fentanyl. And then we have a little tie for third place of Toradol, Norflex, and Bentyl. So, nice thing is I can actually give meds as long as I'm supervised. If they're, and yes, the instructor knows that we could do that, so it's all good. And, of course, I'm holding the card for Valium right now also. You know, diazepam. How is it supplied? It's 10 meg and 2 mil. Stop seizure activity. It's a sedative. Contraindication is hypotension. The adult dosage, 5 meg IV IM by... Is that an A or an H? I can't read my own writing sometimes. By one of our... system, we have two systems here in town now. One of them says we can give it by SMO every 2 minutes. The other system says, no, you can't give it at any level. Gotta love it. Side effects, decreased BP, reflex, tachycardia, drowsiness, nausea and vomiting. Oh, yes, we gotta love the nausea and vomiting. That's why we give them. That's why we got Zofran. Flashcards, note cards, and more flashcards. Back on track. Number 3 of the top 10. Name on one side, information on the other. So that's... use flashcards, bring them everywhere. One medic actually uses a dry erase board and keep writing on it till everything's memorized. Alrighty. Number 2, start with the mechanism of action. Hey, that kind of makes sense to start with how it works. Start with the body's responses and learn what the drugs that do them, i.e. antihypertensives, diabetic, increased heart rate, slow heart rate. Once the students understand how the body is affected, then you slowly move to the classes and the categories. Another medic was here saying break drugs down by indication and then by class. When he started his job, they carried a lot of meds that weren't covered in school, so he broke it down Barney style, by what they were used for, then by class. Meds in the same class tend to have the same indications, contraindications. Learn them broadly, You can always refer to your career CPGs, whatever those are, for specifics. But if you want to have an idea what to use first. And then the number one on the EMS One list of 10 tips for learning pharmacology, do the work. Sit down and repeat the drug cards to yourself all day, every day, on the crapper, at work, while eating, while driving, while sleeping, while having, well, not while you're having relations. Memorization isn't something that's easy. So there you go. Instead of Twitter on the shitter, it's drug cards on the shitter. And yes, I did drop the S-bomb. How about that? Still distracting the podcaster. Yep, we're back. Oh, this is fun already, ain't it? Well, oh, excuse me a second. Coffee. It isn't just for breakfast anymore. Oh, yes, and, you know, in the chat room, I still have not posted my favorite medication yet, but... let's see here. I've done that one. So where's my checklist? There it is. So let's see here. We can go ahead and knock off TXA. We can go ahead and add the farm top 10. All righty. So do I want to do this one yet? How much time do we got? We're down to 13 minutes. What am I drinking? Coffee. The nectar of the gods. The good stuff. Caribou in this cup right now. A nice blend. Of course, after this one, I may switch and go to some chicory because it'll be a celebratory cup. Really, shall you want me to go ahead and pull this one out that I am saving? This is one of them saver ones. You gotta. No, it's actually not something gross, but well, yeah, we got 13 minutes. I'll go ahead and burn through it. Out of San Jose, California. New AEDs give constant praise and warm fuzzies to millennial rescuers. Evidently, in response to a mounting criticism from millennials who are in EMS about the harshness of the automated voice instructions in the modern AEDs, a manufacturer has stepped up with a new, decidedly more supportive option. The URGR-800 AED from Defizol was designed with the unique needs of millennials in mind. After only 2 weeks of EMT training and hearing the harsh, stop CPR, do not touch the patient, this EMT student entrepreneur came up with an idea to develop an AED that was less demanding and more appreciative of the uniqueness of individual rescuers and their needs for affirmation. We just really felt young people like us were intimidated by the stern directions given by AEDs, explained this 28-year-old. My friends and I grew up receiving encouragement and praise, even when we were wrong, and medals for just showing up. This guy pitched his idea with several tweets to Defizol and was hired on the team to develop the URGR 800. If you need that model number, I'll go ahead and more angry typing from me. So there's the model number of the AED. The URGR 800 has one obvious difference than any other AED. When it's turned on, it's the sound of his guy's colleague, Hillary, greeting everybody with a friendly, "Hey, what's up? You should call for help. Saving a life is always easier if you got friends nearby." In addition to its softer tone, it also offers enhanced encouragement which developers felt was important after research showed that many millennial AED users displayed extreme anxiety over the possibility that it could do something wrong or cause harm. One of the examples they use is after a 2 minutes cycle of CPR, the machine plays this message: "Your 2 minutes are up. Great job. Now sit back and check your Facebook for a second while I analyze the heart rhythm. Don't go anywhere. We may need your muscles in a sec when we resume CPR." Early tests found high satisfaction among users who felt they had saved a life even when they failed to perform proper CPR or even attach the pads. It cost $1,800 and they're available in 7 colors to allow for a maximum of self-expression. We're talking gold, silver, blonde, cranberry, tangerine, papaya, and mango. There's also a plus model. It's called the plus social model. It has a larger screen for integrated social sharing capabilities, enabling users to Instagram, Snapchat, tweet, or Facebook their EKG rhythms to friends. And that'll be made available this year for $2,200. We thought it would-be rescuers might want to have the EKG image as a memory of the event and a tribute to their tremendous effort. You can learn more about the URGR 800 and the URGR 800 Plus Social at its Facebook page or by using the hashtag URGR84EVER. April Fools, the You Are Great 100. EMS 1 decided to, good God. And some of the pictures they're showing on here, one of them is like, apply the sticky pads to the person's chest. Wow, that's a YouTube-worthy placement. Deliver shock. Yes, that was more shocking than Kim. Okay. It's just rifling through them here on the site. Resume the beat to staying alive. CPR to the beat of staying alive. You deserve a medal. What's the next one? Oh, you're kidding. Oh, share this awesome save with your Facebook friends. Oh, man. This is just VTAC to VFib to asystole. Don't worry, you tried hard. That's what really matters. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is just... Oh, my God. Yeah, just mentioned from 8 feet to my right, they should have a choice of stickers on it. Yeah, that'd be...
like a horse or a puppy or a race car.
Oh... Wow. And then we burned off 55 minutes of show because we're getting down to the 5-minute mark. Man, this is... I think I've done pretty good for the first show I've done in a year. How about that? Some of the comments on this one, this particular one... Mango, papaya, and tangerine are way too similar for the kids to really like it. They should have eggplant, mint, terracotta, and pink. Okay. I'm sorry. Just give me an old life pack one and let me rock from that one. Whoa. I am uglier than... No, Diver. Kevin, you have not seen me. Let's put it this way. I look in the mirror, I don't see you. Let's put it this way. On the ugliness scale, you got towards the top two of fugly, you got me, and then you have the Diver Medic. Okay, there we go. Ha ha! Gotcha! Oh. So it looks like I have some homework to do here in a little bit. I get to do a whole bunch of links onto the show's website at oneunion801thewebcast.com and our Twitter feed, twitter.com/@1U801thewebcast. I'm not as quite as fugly as John is. Kevin. Not quite as fugly as me. When I look in the mirror, I see myself. I don't see you. So that's a good thing. All right. Where was I? No, her glasses are just fine. Where was I before the diver medic distracted me by saying that he was much fugglier than I am? Oh, yeah. The Twitter feed at 1U801thewebcast. And then you got our Facebook page, facebook.com/1Union801thewebcast. We're down to 4 minutes in the game. Oh, yes. I'll definitely put that one on there. Looking through a pink pair of trauma shears.com in here, giving Kevin and I a bunch of, at least giving Kevin a bunch of grief. Medic trauma shear. And then you got the diver medic in there who is at, you didn't think I'd play for, you know, Kevin, this is a lot funnier when you're picking on Epi, but, divermedic.com, if I remember correctly, is that still yours? Or Kevin, I'll let you. Okay. Giants. Whoa. Ah! What? Okay, yes, the divemedic.com, if you want to give divermedic a little bit of heck for picking on me and say it. You know, that way he is, and assert to him that he is much, much fugglier than I am. Of course, me, oneunion801thewebcast.com. And believe it or not, you can actually give D a little love on that, on the site, too. Yeah, I know Epi left, so you can't pick on her, but that's never stopped us before, has it? I mean, I'd be in the middle of doing show notes and you guys are still picking on me, and that's after the show's over. Save them up for June. Why? What's in June? So here we go. I have went through the whole list. EMT 215 tomorrow is the next, EMT 215 is the next little piece of class that I get to work on while I'm coming up on the two-minute warning. I'm surprised Gertrude isn't screaming in my ear yet, where I get to do a nice eight-hour shift at a local ER playing advanced EMT. Advanced EMT, or if you're old-school EMT intermediate. And then in June, while Kevin, thank you, Gertrude, we're down to a minute and a half. At M1, what the? Oh, M1 Garand. I done lost my train of thought is derailed again. Oh, wait a minute, that's normal for me, though. Starting in June, I get to go and sit in the ambulance and rock out on the ambulance as a EMTI intern or AEMT intern. We're down to 60 seconds, so I'm going to go ahead and stick a fork in this thing, call it done. I have no clue what we're covering next show. Go ahead, plug your business. Okay, be teaching WFA, Wilderness First Aid and Wilderness First Respond a lot in Pennsylvania this summer. Hey, there you go. Fork you, man. So, we're going to go ahead. Black Horse Dynamics. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pull the foot out of my mouth because I'm already up to the calf. No clue what we're covering next week. or next show, excuse me, but it will be in 2 weeks from tonight, 23:30 Eastern, 22:30 Central, at 20:30 over there on the left course. This has been One Union 801, the webcast on Blog Talk Radio. This show is a member of the ProMed Network. Sing it with me, y'all. See you in 2 weeks.